Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, best friend, I love you too. Oh, wow. Getting more into this holiday season, and it's just so amazing to know that in a couple months you'll be 12 years old. And I really want to thank my grandson for being a business partner and putting his grandfather in his business endeavors and definitely supporting this show. And for you, the 41,000 plus listeners that tune in to shows here on Home-Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. Truly is listener-supported radio, and me and Isaiah, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for tuning in and spending time with us when you spend time, whether you listen live or whether you catch us in the archives. As you know, for the last 3 weeks, we've been reviewing the works of a colleague, a brother, and a comrade of mine, Brother George Sabir, who wrote, you know, several books, three books that we've been going over his that he wrote, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America, Black Folks' Guide to Business and Getting Black Folks to Sell. And though I have a crossover listening audience, and some of you I said, well, why are you emphasizing black people? Because I'm black. And it doesn't mean that because we emphasize ourselves that we negate others. So for those people that don't understand that, you know, that's your issue. That's your problem. That's not our problem. The bottom line is that in order for America to be America and to be what it is that each ethnic group must pick up their own bootstraps and do the best that they can do for their community. Thus, by doing that, it makes America a better place and that all communities are strong and strengthened. There is no abstract human being. Every person comes from a specific ethnic group and a specific culture. There is no universal culture. And so I just wanted to get that out of the way, you know, because, you know, I had a couple people say, well, you know, I noticed that, you know, as you've been going over this guy's stuff, you know, you're talking about black folks. Yeah, so what? You know, we people too. And we don't have to be apologetic about speaking for ourselves. And, you know, with that said, you know, hey, as we was, me and George, as we was dialoguing and talking back in 2010, you know, he was sharing with me a project that he was working on. And, you know, we had made some agreements and some things we was going to do to work on it together. Then a week later, he was gone. You know, he got called home. December 10th, 2010, he got called home. And I'm going to play part of his project that he talked about. And it took a little bit of time for me to get people together to put this project in place. And then, you know, to give it the name and all of that. But, I mean, you know, he was really concerned and passionate about wanting to do something to help 18 to 30-year-old African-Americans, and specifically African-American males, before bringing him up, you know, to share that. I mean, there's a lot of different movies out that deal with the problems of the African-American male. From Antoine Fisher, that movie, to the movie called The Animal, which is a powerful piece. And, you know, there's issues in our community that we need to address. And again, I'm speaking to the African-American community, and for my crossover listening audience that's tuned in, you know, hey, you know, we thank you for listening in to our show as we discuss our issues in our culture. And it's for the betterment of all people. If that there's issues that have been put forth in our community that has us divided, that has us not understanding how to take the monies that we have, the economy that we have, and use it for the betterment of ourselves and make a positive impact on the overall American culture so that America can ultimately be that quote-unquote melting pot that people talk about. But in order for it to be that, then each group, each ethnic group has to bring its own culture to the table. I ain't interested in being a chocolate-covered white person. I'm just going to put that out there so those of us listen. Because I ain't white. I'm black. That don't mean I hate white people. But I ain't interested in being a chocolate-covered white person. That's imitation. Why I need to imitate somebody? I am who I am. You are who you are. Why you, just like a white person don't need to be a white-covered black person. You don't need to imitate us. We all are unique and different, and that's the glory that God has brought to the table. But how do we take our differences and unite for the betterment of humanity? See, that is the question that we need to put on the table. And when we eliminate racism and white supremacy, then we can get to the table of brotherhood and sisterhood and humanity, in which all people are respected and feel good about themselves. So before I bring up the piece with George, you know, I'm going to just share a little thing that me and my wife do with children that we work with. And it goes sort of something like this. I feel good about myself. I feel good about the people around me. I feel goodness all around me. And it will follow me for the rest of my life. Because I walk with good. And I talk with good. And I am good. And that feels real good. Good, better, best, never let it rest. To your good is your better. And your better is your best. You can do it. You can do it if you just stick to it. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better and better and better. See, that's universal. Everybody has to feel good about themselves. Everybody should have good people around them. And everybody should be able to walk in goodness. And everybody should be able to speak in goodness. And identify with good people. If you don't have that going on in your life, I don't care what color you are. You got a crappy, cruddy life. It ain't got nothing to do with black, white, being Oriental, whatever. If you don't have good people around you, if you don't have good people encouraging you, you're living a crappy, cruddy life, and you need to check yourself and get it together. All right, let me bring up my interview, last part of my interview with George, as we talked about how to make an impact in our community, and then I'm going to share with you how we're doing that down here in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. So hold on 1 second, and let me get this recording situated and bring it up. And again, we thank you for tuning in to Home Based Business 101 this morning here on Blog Talk Radio. Hold on, be right back at you. We're winding down here. We currently have a program that you're doing, and that program is a mentoring program to expose this. You know, we talked about all of this, you know, young African Americans to the world of business. The description is, you know, the
first goal is to open up new categories of income choices and opportunities for participants, but particularly for younger ones in their teens and 20s. The second goal is to encourage people who don't want to work for someone else that it is possible for a non-college educated person, even one may commit a criminal, who may have a criminal record, to make a comfortable livelihood working for themselves. And the third major goal is to have a positive effect culture of Black Philadelphia so that more people of the younger generation will focus on owning more businesses, commercial property, and large-scale enterprises. So let's talk about this program you have so the listener can know, you know, how they can support it and what you're doing in that area.
Okay, well, I'm based in a city called East Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philly, and I'm a manager of one of the Comptroller tax offices. And what I'm trying to do here is to create a movement, a local movement in the city of Philadelphia, to get young people, and my definition of young is 18 to 30, to think about starting their own business as a way to understand business. I mean, to study business in school is one thing, to actually operate a business where when you make a mistake, it costs you money, and you don't make a mistake, you make money. That's when you really are learning about business. So we want to start a movement of young people getting involved in business. We offer them several choices so they're not necessarily shuttled into one thing and one thing only. And from that, we then want them to see the whole notion of diversification. When white people use the word diversity, they talk about getting their money. When black people use the word diversity, they think in terms of wider areas of America being open to hiring them as workers. So they have two different definitions of what diversity means, and I like more black people to understand financial diversity, whereby, you know, some of your money you maybe put it into some funds that can accrue interest over a period of time. Some of the money you might invest in real estate. Some people might look at buying an existing business. I mean, there's a whole industry of people who sell businesses the way real estate people sell houses. But we don't know anything about that. It's not something that you walk past a storefront and see a sign saying, I sell businesses. So they need to be exposed to that. You know, other people may want to go toward their dream business. You know, we're very clear up front that we're not helping people reach their dream business. We're helping them get the contacts, the money, and the customer base to help them position themselves to get into their dream business. So that's some of the things that we're trying to do, and we're still in the very early stages. There's nothing really significant to report as far as development at this point, but I'm really, really serious about it, and I'm going to make it happen.
Okay. All right. Did you hear what George is saying? 18 to 30-year-olds, teaching them the world of business. It took a while, you know, to be able to say, you know, we was working on that together. You know, he said it was in the early stages. And then it was in the early stages, and, you know, he transitioned past God, called him home to glory. And then I was like, wow, what am I going to do, you know? And so, you know, I went back through my notes. I went through stuff that we had talked about off the air, emails that we had went through, his prototype, and it took a while to put it all together. And then we came out with a piece called the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. And with that, the same goals that you heard that we talked about, you know, introducing young folk to, and again, his definition, young. We said we wanted to take that 18 and older crowd, 18 to 25, 18 to 30. You know, there's a lot of programs for the teenagers under 18, and you know, and we got some stuff that we do around that. But we really want to primarily focus on this target group because we really want to be able to have an economic impact in our community that would enable this group, the target group, the group that the other people in America market to. They market drugs, guns, and everything else to that group, too, and lock them in. That's why, again, a good movie to watch is a movie called The Animal. And watch the transformation and the transformation of what takes place in that movie. But, you know, the thing is that that's a critical time and age. I think about my own personal development, 18 years old, going in the military, then coming home out of the military, and then, you know, even with all of that, I didn't really find myself. And then I'll admit it, I didn't really find myself until I was about 34 years old. I could have got lost in the shuffle and could have been one of the walking dead and been dead, buried, and gone. Around 34 years old is when I really began to get a grasp and a grip on my humanity. And so, you know, as George was saying, you know, that we, you know, we wanted, this is a target age group, and we have something we've developed. You know, when I say we, those people that have come together to work with me and my wife, called the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. I'm going to put out a number here and give you the contact person if you'd like to know more information about this program and how you can support it. You can contact the Vice President of Marketing for the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. His name is Mr. Marcus Vaughn. And you can reach him at 252-458-5570. That's 252-458-5570. I'll repeat that number one more time. And his name is Mr. Marcus Vaughn, who is the VP of Marketing for the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. That's 252-458-5570. 252-458-5570. And the Young Adult Business Builders Academy, you heard when me and George was talking back in 2010, you know, he laid the program out. And he said it was in the infant stage, and that's what, you know, it was. We were working on how to make it happen. And next week when I called him, he was gone. He was gone, you know. Not gone forever, but gone in the, you know, in the physical sense and in the flesh. You know, God called him home to glory. And, you know, I was like, wow, you know. And this was something that me and him personally had talked about, you know. He talked to some other people, but none of them had gotten on board. I came on board, and we were looking at how to make it happen and how to make it work. And then it took some time for me to get building blocks in place and all of that. But it's happened. I'm proud to say that we had our first group of students this year and had a graduating class and looking to get our next group of students together, you know, for another class and to also be able to assist the students that did graduate from my class to help them be able to prosper in this endeavor. And it's so important that we do this because, see, we have to break the Willie Lynch syndrome. Now, somebody's going to probably say, who is Willie Lynch? And where are you getting ready to take us at right now? I'm going to wrap up today's show telling you about why we got to break the Willie Lynch syndrome and what Willie Lynch is about. See, Willie Lynch, for us as African Americans, there was a situation where someone back in 1712 was able to share some information with those that have captured us and put us here in chattel slavery and give them a plan on how to keep us from working against our best interests forever. And his name was William Lynch. Thus, that's where we get the word lynch. You know what lynch means, hang somebody. But anyway, this is a speech that was delivered back in 1712 by Mr. William Lynch. And he says this, "Gentlemen, I greet you here on the banks of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall say thank you to gentlemen of Carlisle, Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve your problems with slaves." Now, you know what he's talking about when he says slaves, black people. "Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still oldest methods for control of slaves." The man talked about how he experimented with methods of how to control slaves. "Ancient Rome would envy us if my programs was implemented. As I both sailed south of the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish," yeah, the King James Version of the Bible, that's got a lot to do with this stuff too, "I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human beings along its own highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion." For those that don't know what he's talking about, well, an execution in Rome, they used to execute people on the cross. So Jesus wasn't the only person that was put on the cross. That was their form of their death penalty kind of thing, putting people on the cross. He says, "I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. You're not only losing valuable stock by hanging, you're having uprisings. Slaves are running away. Your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profits. You suffer occasional fires. Your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not need to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. However, I'm here to introduce you a method of solving them." So again, as we talk about moving forward, our goal is, as we deal with all of the information that George has in his books, it's about liberating ourselves as African Americans, building our own economy and doing something else so that we do not be caught up into how these people want to control us, kill us, maim us, and make slaves out of us, even today in the year 2012. She says, "In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control slaves for at least 300 years. That was 1712. What year is it now? My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I outline a number of differences among slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes." How many of us as African Americans fear other ones, distrust other African Americans, and have envy? "These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the South Indies, in the West Indies, and will work throughout the South. Take this simple list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it is there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There's intelligence, sex, size of plantation, status on plantation, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on the hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have the list of differences, I shall outline for you action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust. Envy is stronger than respect or admiration. The black slave, after receiving this indoctrination, should carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pit the old black male versus the young black male. and the young black male against the old black male. You must use dark-skinned slaves versus the light slaves, and light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use female versus male and male versus female. You must also have your white servants and overseers distrust all blacks. But it's necessary that your slaves trust and depend on you. They must love, respect, and trust only you. Gentlemen, these kits are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensively for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen. So, I mean, again, you know, here's this thing that was laid out years ago about how to divide and conquer a people. And that division and that conquering of us as African Americans, because remember, we didn't come on, as Malcolm X said, we didn't come, you know, on the ship and land at Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. We came here on a slave ship called Jesus. That's right. They named the ship after Jesus, which means, you know, you need to really, and I'm not here to attack anybody's religion or whatever, but you really need to understand how things were introduced to us and that, you know, that the bottom line is, yes, there is a God. There is a divine aspect to understanding all that's going on, but not through our slave master's interpretation of it, not through his interpretation of how we need to worship God. You know, Malcolm X used to say, we pray to God, they put a rope around our neck, they praying for God to hang us, and we praying to God to forgive them. You know, we got to understand, we can't pray to God the same way as the people that oppressed us. Again, you might say, well, what all this has to do with what you was talking about with Brother George Sadir? What it has to do with is that as we're into this week of Kwanzaa, and yesterday was Kuji Chagaliya Day, the first day was Umoja Day, Umoja, unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race, Kuji Chagaliya, self-determination. To define ourselves, name ourselves, speak for ourselves, and create for ourselves, instead of being defined, named, and spoken for others. And today, as I reach out to you, Ujima Day, collective work and responsibility, to do always as much as we can in the way that we can, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems, and solve them together. We have to solve our problems. Our problem, as we live here in America, is that we do not move as an independent people. We're dependent upon the same people that enslaved us. And we must change that relationship. Now, are all of us going to do it? No. We need, as W.E.B. Du Bois talked about, the talented 10th. That talented 10th of us, we need to take the reins, the realms of leadership and business and come forth with a plan, where we work together through good, positive businesses and uplift our people. That's our mission. That's our task. Anything less than that, it ain't worthy. So I know you thought you was just going to be listening to a show where, you know, as we was wrapping up this, where about how to make some money, how to have a business, how to learn some selling techniques. You didn't know that we was going to close out, but how we need to build our own economy and build our own world. Anything less than that, we'll never meet the mark, never cross the river, never get to where we need to be to make this world a better place for ourselves and our children. All self-respecting people do for self first, and then connect with others. It's our time, it's our place. And as Brother George Shapiro would say, it's time for us to do for self, learn how to be interdependent, because there's no such thing as total independence. But we need to learn how to be interdependent, do for ourselves, build for ourselves, so that we will be treated as self-respecting people. And with that said, if you want to know, again, more about the Young Adult Business Builders Academy, if we work with 18 to 25-year-olds to teach them honest and legitimate and legal ways to earn a six-figure income by the time they reach age 30, please give Mr. Marcus Vaughn a call at 252-458-5570, and he can tell you all about the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. Hey, we thank you for tuning in today. We thank you those that have been following for the last 3 weeks. We've been going over the life and works of my colleague, friend, and who's also an ancestor, and up there in heaven watching over us, Brother George Sabir, who shared a lot of tremendous information with us during his lifetime. And we just need to make sure that we learn the lessons of those that have come before us. With that said, I'm going to say Tutanana, which means till we meet again. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy New Year. We thank you for tuning in. God willing, and the creek don't rise. Be back at these airways for you again tomorrow morning with your opportunity is YTB. And we just want to thank you for tuning in. Have a blessed and wonderful day. God bless you. We love you. Thank you.